And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome, folks, to the Hagman and Hagman Report. Hillary Rodham Clinton, of course, yesterday, the big news. It's all over the news where Hillary has took a stumble, passed out, whatever, in New York City. Hillary's on 9/11, folks. I personally did a video earlier, pre-show, a 30-minute video to talk about the issue. But, folks, this has been long in the planning. We're being gamed. We are being massaged. We're being led down a garden path. You think that Hillary Clinton's health is not an issue? It most certainly is. Well, what's going on? Well, I believe, and this is my personal belief based on research and also contact, it is to create a situation that will cast doubt on the legitimacy of the Trump victory and chaos. Chaos. It's all about chaos, orchestrated chaos, and this is what we're seeing. And we will see more of it. The perpetrators behind this, of course, are the globalists. The facilitators include, but are not limited to, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the head of the DNC, and all of her people. Also, not just Clinton herself, but the Cheryl Mills and Huma Abedin and all of the people that know of the severity of Hillary Clinton's health crisis. Now, really quick, before we bring Joe on and before we go full bore here, I just want to mention this, all right? The situation is this. The pneumonia is probably true, but it's not pneumonia. For example, it's not pneumonia caused by some virus, we'll say. No, this pneumonia, in my view, I believe this to be fact after talking with Ted Brewer yesterday and also today, or Friday during the show and today also. The pneumonia is an artifact or consequence of some neurological condition. For example, Parkinson's. How many people die from Parkinson's? You die from complications to Parkinson's. And hang on a second. That's fine.
The pneumonia being a symptom of the disease, of the Parkinson's disease.
Right.
And so there's
which camera is down?
That one.
You know, I might have unplugged, well, I didn't unplug it, but I might have unplugged that camera from the back of that. All right. Anyway. Just bear with us. We're going to put up a splash screen for a moment here. But look, where was I when that thing flashed across her? Okay. The issue is this. The pneumonia is, I believe, is an artifact or a consequence of the neurological condition that Hillary has. And obviously there is a neurological condition, and some say Parkinson's, some say, some cortex vascular degenerative dementia, whatever it might be, but the bottom line is this: when you have a candidate like Hillary Clinton running against a candidate Donald Trump, whether it's Clinton or Sanders or whoever it might be, but in particular Clinton, and she or the election is cast into doubt because of, we'll say, because of let me walk that back for a second. When you have Trump as such a popular candidate among the people, his popularity is growing, you cannot believe the polls. And I suspect that you've got to understand that first. The polls are not reflective of the people's opinion. So when you've got a popular candidate who's supported by well over a majority of the voting public, and that's Donald Trump, when you've got that running against the globalist agenda, you've got to do something to nullify Trump. Well, you can't necessarily, I mean, you could possibly take him out as in the larger sense, but that would make him a martyr, or you could cast doubt on the legitimacy of the elections. Think back to 2000, year 2000, when Bush won well, when Bush was selected by a Supreme Court vote. But multiply the consequences. Now, multiply that by factors, just great factors, because you see the vitriol of the anti-Trump people. Can you imagine the very same anti-Trump people who are, and Joe, hop on now, but can you imagine the vitriol of the anti-Trump people when you have a Trump victory based on, we'll say, an electoral decision? And that's what it could come out to be. The popular vote might not even be, because the popular vote doesn't elect the candidate. The Electoral College elects a candidate, as I explained in the video.
According to, you know, polls and experts out there, alleged experts, that it's already over based on the Electoral College's vote. And even George Soros himself said Donald Trump could win the popular vote in a landslide, but still lose because of the Electoral College.
Right. Now think about that. But now you've got, because of one cameraman, one person with a camera or with a cell phone or whoever took that video, I'm not even sure of the origins of that video. It really doesn't matter. But that one person, that one video, really threw a monkey wrench into the plans of the globalists, I would suspect. So, having said that, how do they exploit that? Well, if they can't win, they're gonna burn the place down, essentially. And that's America. They're gonna burn it all down, baby. If they can't win, and if they can't get their person in the form of Clinton, well, then everything, they're going to lay everything to waste. And I think that although the plan, the long range plan, I believe, was to get Clinton in office. Again, the cover of the Economist. I think that the tide has turned now, where she will not be able to get into office. She will not be put into office. And based on that, of course, we're going to see something totally different, and that something totally different is going to be come in the form of a constitutional crisis, or a crisis that is going to cast doubt on the legitimacy and authenticity of the electoral, or the results of the election. I want to mention, folks, that tonight's broadcast brought to you by Elite Island Resorts. Boy, how about now? I mean, given the fact that all of the headlines that we're seeing, how about getting away for even for the holidays and leaving the chaos behind? Think about Christmas, or think about Thanksgiving, or whatever the case might be. Wouldn't you like to spend your holidays, this holiday season, relaxing on the beach instead of cleaning up after your relatives? That sounds good to me. And how many people do you know take their holiday photos on, you know, for their cards or whatever, on a warm, sunny beach? Well, now you can, folks. I found an amazing getaway, an even more amazing price behind it. The Pineapple Beach Club in Antigua, right now, for under $100 a person, $99 a person, 16 and up per night. You can enjoy adults only. Again, 16 and up is adults. All-inclusive holiday getaway on a white sandy beach. Go to pineapplebeachclub.com. That's pineapplebeachclub.com. Again, pineapplebeachclub.com, or call 800-772-8711 to make your reservation today. More on that later. So we're talking about the constitutional crisis that could result, and the chaos that could ensue from Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton taking a fall. And we're going to retire the yak, because it's not right now anymore, because I do believe that she is physically still.
And if we can, let's start by looking at we were talking earlier about the options. What would happen if Hillary Clinton were to drop out? What would happen to the Democratic Party?
Yeah.
Who would be their candidate? How does it work? Where are the rules?
And for answers to that, just select the. I'm sorry. Hang on a second here. I gotta grab this and.
Yeah, the unmuted computer.
Yeah. But, all of a sudden, but
what I wanted to
check
ask
out
is,
check out the YouTube video I did.
Correct. Say they're able to medicate her and prop her up,
and believe that?
She gets through the rest of the election season, and it has to be an issue that the campaign has been caught lying to people, lying by omission and outright lying about her health. Even Hillary Clinton has been lying, and it's obviously the cat's out of the bag to a degree right now. You know, you still see a lot of news commentators you know, giving her the benefit of the doubt or covering up what's really going on with yesterday. First, it started out as being she was dehydrated. Then she was, you know, she was overheated, and then she had pneumonia. And it's interesting to see that, you know, they don't come out and say she had pneumonia until after the little incident that happened on camera. And if that incident wasn't captured on camera, would we even have heard anything? The dishonesty of the campaign is something people need to be largely aware of. If she stays, I mean, if she stays in the race, this just shows you this is a pattern of behavior. We've seen it with Benghazi. We've seen it with the email server. We've seen it with her health issues. She will lie and lie and lie and lie until something happens, something breaks, something's uncovered.
And the media and
create
is right
an
behind
excuse
her.
For it. And the media shields her, protects yep. her all the way down the line. Even to the, there was an interesting article in the New York Times today. The guy who wrote it was the one last week after Labor Day calling everybody, you know, basically tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorists for questioning her health, where reporters told her get a life, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Now they say, you know, well, the things of conspiracy theories might have some, you know, value to it. But what does it say about Hillary Clinton herself? And how much of this could have been, you know, looked upon as sympathy instead of anger and, you know, I told you so, and see if she were to say, yes, I had pneumonia before she had these incidents or before she, you know, had the coughing fits, most recent, and then this latest incident on September 11th at the 9/11 15-year anniversary memorial.
Now, let me ask you a question, though, Joe. If you were, if the Republicans or conservatives, I'll just say conservatives because Republicans, Democrats, no, those are false titles, but if you were a conservative and the conservative party did this, if instead of Clinton, if this was Trump, I'll ask mm-hmm. you, would you be angry
if Trump did this?
If this is Trump as opposed to Hillary?
Yeah, absolutely. And if there were indicators and signs that showed that things were exactly the opposite of what he was saying, and that, you know, there's a pattern of covering it up and things right. continuing to get worse to the point where it can't be hidden from the public's eye anymore. You know, there was those videos where she had those weird facial expressions, and then the one with her head bobbing, and then the coughing fits. And we know that she's fainted in the past, but those were, you know, one was due to a blood clot, and this is something completely different. It wasn't a, you know, overbearingly hot day in New York. It wasn't, you know, 100% humidity.
You know what,
it was 30% humidity. It was 81 degrees.
Yeah, but read the forums, like Democratic Underground. The people are saying, oh, it was hot. It was muggy. I was there.
Yeah, MSNBC commentator yesterday said, oh, yeah, if I was there and I had to wear a pantsuit, I probably would have fainted too. And you hear all, you know, the protection and the cover-up. And, of course, I would be mad if it was the other way around, absolutely.
So, all right, and folks, at the epicenter of this, really at the crux of this, I would urge everyone, and I think I might have failed to say this, I would urge everyone to understand that the people in power are planning two and three and four steps out. We're looking, meanwhile, while we are looking at this single video and saying, well, she's sick, she passed out, obviously, because of a larger medical issue. That's already been, I mean, that's in our rearview mirror. I think we need to be looking, Joe, way, way, way out in the future and understanding that they are too. The globalists and the power, the people in power are as well. And when I spoke with my, the gentleman that's in the government, that's all I'm going to say, because I asked him to please give his name. I mean, this is a pretty high up individual. He said, look, the DNC, the committee people within the DNC are in fact meeting. There are meetings being held all over the place inside the Beltway right now. Even more so, the Soros is engaged. The Sun is engaged in some meetings as well. All right, what are they talking about and who are they talking to? I think that they're obviously making plans. But I don't think, absent of a Sanders push in,
and he can't, from what I understand, he's
why not
an independent after the election? He registered as independent. And according, and just two headlines that you haven't seen, I don't believe you were doing the YouTubes earlier right. and whatnot. There's an article on Politico. Former DNC chairwoman calls for a Clinton contingency plan, and they are saying that. Due to an extremely unlikely event, Democrats might have to change the ticket And they're saying a former Democratic National Committee chairman says President Obama and the party's congressional leaders should immediately come up with a process to identify a potential successor candidate for Hillary Clinton for the off chance a health emergency forces her out of the race. Now, there was another article today.
Let me stop you right there. I don't believe in, Joe, let me ask you, I don't believe that Hillary Clinton can possibly continue on the ticket.
If she's as sick as she appears, no. I mean, how can she? There's some fundraisers that are happening in L.A. The creator of Family Guy, Seth MacFarlane. This guy's
is that
a real piece of work.
Thing?
Yeah.
All right.
He's made a statement. Oh, you know, people can't choose to be sick, but people can choose to be bigots, and you know, basically defending her. He's hosting a $50,000 plate dinner for a Hillary Clinton event tonight, where she had to cancel. But now she's going to be phoning it in. Yeah. Well, that's what the
article
says.
Does that count for the 50?
Bill Clinton's sitting, going in her place.
Oh, okay.
But she's also going to apparently be phoning it in.
So it's the co-presidency at work here again.
Exactly. And there's an article on Drudge, Bill stands in for Hillary. And that's what that's what the article is about these two, you know, big money. They're not going to leave any money sitting on the table.
I'll tell you something, Joe. Here's what we should do. We should throw a $50,000 plate fundraiser for us. All we need is like two people to come. Okay. Just two people. And we'll be set for a year.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I wish we had that kind of ability.
Whatever. Yeah, I mean, three people actually, just for that little edge, for you know, extra camera equipment. We only need three people to come. $50,000, $50K a plate. I mean, imagine. So
that
imagine that.
Off,
I guess. So I mean, the reason I mention this is because for $50,000 a plate, and for her to cancel.
Yeah, you would probably not be too happy.
Throw a bill in there,
and it's not just you know. And you're out in Hollywood, so I'm sure, you know, people out there and those tight circles from the Hollywood elite to the political elite, there's going to be some pretty high up people there. Probably some influential people that wanted to meet with her. I'm sure they'll get their chance if she, sticks around in the campaign. But the real question is, and we talked about this earlier, what happens if Hillary Clinton has to drop out? Oh. Where in the Constitution does it say?
Well, you know what? It doesn't. Glad you asked. Because
it's the party
check
rules.
The YouTube
right?
video earlier.
Well, and I didn't listen to this.
Yeah, check, folks, if you can. It's a 25 minute video we just did right before the show. It explains how a candidate's death could very well delay or even eliminate a presidential election. If you think Obama, if you don't think that Obama could serve a third term,
Bill could serve two more years, right. Technically, under an emergency.
Bill Clinton
presidency.
Could actually come in for 2 years.
Yep.
Right. You can extend. It's actually a 10-year limitation, two elected and then two.
It changed when FDR was in office.
Right.
And he changed the term limits and the voting, how they vote for president to 8 years. But from what I understand, on Zero Hedge, there's an article now that just was put up recently that says they lay out the clear case for what the RNC would do because the rules and the bylaws are already there. But they say for the Democrats, it's not so clear. The Democratic National Committee reserves the right to replace a candidate who dies or drops out. It doesn't provide additional details in its bylaws, so presumably the Democrats could make up this process as they go along. And Zero Hedge seems to think, they say, the DNC would likely want to retain the support of major donors who've already given money to the Clinton-Kane ticket and would probably just bump Tim Kaine up from the VP slot. Kaine would simply slide up the ticket, choose a new running mate, hope the ballots could be reprinted in time, and carry on just as Clinton had. Then he goes on to say, but of course this is 2016 and anything can happen.
Well, I did have dialogue with Hillsdale College and some other universities who have constitutional scholars, okay? And they, out of all of the dialogue, you talk about disparity of answers. Oh my goodness. But here's the thing. Two people said, look at U.S. News and World Report, the August 30th column by Stephen Nelson. And, okay, I figured if two constitutional scholars said that this was the place to go or the article to check. Okay, so here is where we I'm going to really summarize this. The presidential election could be delayed or scrapped altogether if conspiracy theories that, you know, us, we're conspiracy theorists, right? If there's an issue, if a candidate dies or drops out before the date of election. Election day is November 8th. Congressional terms expire January 3rd. And the presidential terms expire January 20th. So on the 8th of November of 2016, we elect in the general election, we bring in the Senate, the House, and of course vote for the Senate, the House, as well as our local and state officials, but also the office of the president. So either you have Trump or Clinton, and then you have the Congress. But here's the issue. Let's just say Hillary Clinton becomes ineligible for reasons of health or whatever the reason might be before November 8th. What do you do? Well, depends on when that happens. Okay? If it happens too close to November 8th, which I do believe the globalists, and joke and jump in here, but I believe that the globalists, the power, people in power, and this includes people on both sides of the aisle, want the chaos to ensue in this country. They want it because they fear a Trump win. Mm-hmm. They fear a Trump victory. So what they're going to do is they're going to change the rules of the game a little bit, or exploit the rules maybe, and declare the elections, if they do happen, illegitimate. The Trump victory illegitimate, or allow the Trump victory to go ahead, given the fact that they can't, by virtue of the time, can't get somebody to on the ticket before November 8th, and then allow the chaos, and I believe the vitriol and chaos will ensue. But if you think about this, what Obama could possibly do is say, wait. We have a problem here. There's not enough time, so I'm going to extend the, I'm going to ask Congress, because it's a matter of Congress, it's not a presidential edict, I'm going to ask Congress to extend the election date. That's very possible. Is it in the Constitution? Article 2 of the Constitution allows federal lawmakers to set dates for the selection of president electors and when the electors will vote. Mm-hmm. Another issue very quickly here is, it is very possible that the popular vote won't even count in this election. So imagine that. The people's voice not counted, at least not optically or directly. Okay? Because the electors vote for the president, not the president. But here's the problem. If the elections are extended, you have to understand that the congressional terms expire January 3rd. So on January 4th, every congressperson is not a congressperson anymore. And on the 21st of January, the president is not a president anymore. In this case, never was, but that's beside the point. I would like to direct everyone's attention to Yale Law School professor Akhil Reed Amar. This guy's pretty a smart cookie. He wrote an article in the Arkansas Law Review back in 1994, which addressed this very issue. Okay, about the presidential election being pushed to after January 20th. But here's the problem. Are you just gonna push the presidential elections, or are you gonna push the congressional elections with that? So the entire election after January 20th. And if that's the case, remember what I said, the Congress critters, their term expires on January 4th. So why would you do that? You really wouldn't necessarily, according to this Amar. It seems far-fetched, but it can be done. It's a possibility, so we have to keep that on the table. But the bottom line here, I believe, is while everyone looks at this is a lie and stuff, we know it's a lie. But I think the larger here picture is they are really pushing for a way to delegitimize Donald Trump as the nominee. And the perfect way to do it is to say, you know what, think 2000 on steroids. Think Bush, Gore on steroids.
And regardless of her health, they're going to continue to paint Trump as a bad guy, to, you know, continue the games and tricks that they've been using against him, including, you know, all the support from the mainstream media. And something we didn't get a chance to really cover last week was the presidents had that forum where they were asked questions by Matt Lauer, and Matt Lauer took a beating by Democrats and other people in the media for not fact-checking Trump, and there was just, you know, all this hype about how poorly Matt Lauer did by not destroying Trump when he had the chance. But, you know, my question is, moving forward with Hillary Clinton, we have the debates coming up. The first debate's upcoming in 2 weeks. Each debate is 90 minutes, and, you know, that's going to tell a lot. She's canceled her events for the rest of the week, or for at least she has stand-ins, and like her daughter, her husband, and the vice presidential candidate. I'm sure Joe Biden and or the current president will continue to step up in her place. But what we're seeing here is there's something, you know, just going on that they already have. I believe they already have the contingency plan. They have the backup plans. They know exactly what they're going to do in case of A, B, or C. And they're not going to stop with their campaign against Trump. And that's just going to continue. And I think he did a good job, at least when he was asked about her health, you know, saying, you know, I hope she feels better. Oh, yeah. He said a few sentences that were, it was professional. You know, it wasn't what you'd think, the first things that would probably go through your mind. But, there's still a lot of questions out there. And as much as the media wants to continue to try to cover it up or, downplay it, as they're doing right now, even former politicians, our former governor here in Pennsylvania, Ed Randell, has come out and said, oh, by the debates, she'll cast aside all doubt by a strong performance, and, you know, people won't even remember what happened.
No, if you remember a Randell governorship, yeah, that works.
But we're going to talk about this more on the other side. We're talking about the presidential elections, the incident that happened with Hillary Clinton, her health on September 11th at the 9/11 15-year anniversary event. And after this next segment, Coach Dave from PTSalt.com will be our guest. He's going to be joining us from 8 to 10. We're going to cover a wide range of topics and hit on some important issues. We'll be right back after these short messages. Stay with us.
Back to the Hagman and Hagman Report. Hagman and Hagman Report. Folks, two websites, HagmanandHagman.com for show information, HagmanReport.com. Joe's on fire. He's posting some stuff. He's out of control. Stop the man. HagmanReport.com. That's the place to go for all of your news information analysis, HagmanReport.com. And don't forget, folks, we've got a Facebook page. Go figure, right? And Twitter. Social networking. While we still can, we have to spread the word through any means possible, even if that means using the global's own technology to get the word out. That's right, to exploit the enemy's weakness, or even use their roads, shall we say, their tools, their armaments. And we're not above doing so, obviously. Any way that we can get the word out, and that's the way to go. So, HagmanandHagman.com, two N's on Hagman. That's our show information, and HagmanReport.com, of course, for news information analysis and social networking. And folks, please, if you're watching this live on YouTube, and we have YouTube Live, if you're watching that, go ahead and subscribe. See, I don't know, you might win a free something, right? No, just go ahead and subscribe. It does help us. It does elevate our visibility. We appreciate that. Let me ask you something. What are you doing for the holidays? Or even, well, are you planning to have a family get together and washing a lot of dishes and, you know, engage in the chaos? And how many people do you know take their holiday photos on a warm sandy beach? Let me ask you that. Not too many, I would imagine. I found a company, an amazing getaway, that makes taking vacations affordable. What a great company. This is an amazing getaway at an even more amazing price. The Pineapple Beach Club in Antigua. Now, I'm not a really great traveler. I don't travel much, but this I just can't pass up. Right now, for just $99 per person per night, you can enjoy an adults only. Now, by adults only, we're talking 16 years and above. Okay. no children, 16 years and above, and adults only, inclusive holiday getaway on a white sandy beach. Folks, you can go to pineapplebeachclub.com, pineapplebeachclub.com, or call 800-772-8711. Make your reservations today. Let me tell you a little bit more about the resort and the island, because I didn't know. I did not know. The getaway is all-inclusive, which means your meals, your snacks, your beverages, yes, even alcohol if you want to drink a glass of wine with dinner, resort activities, and all taxes and all service charges are included in that price. $99 per person. Think about that. Meals, snacks, beverages, resort activities, all taxes, one, and all service charges.
So where are we signing up?
Well, hey, this gets better. Hold on. There are five restaurants on... there are five restaurants that you can tap into, as well as the Tranquility Spa, two freshwater pools, windsurfing, snorkeling, kayaking, sailing, and so much more. And here's the kicker. My stepson planned a destination wedding. They can do that too. And I was really, I was thinking, really? You got to plan a destination wedding? Yes. Because it's even less expensive this way. Folks, they've got 365 beaches in Antigua, one for every day of the year. It's located, if you're geographically challenged, it's located in the Caribbean, the largest English-speaking leeward island, known for their magnificent weather. Oh, pristine white sand beaches and colorful cultural festivals. Never let them call you not multicultural. If you're sick and tired of the headlines, sick and tired of the news, you got $100 a day per person. Seriously? This is my choice. When you're ready to leave the chaos behind this year and get some well-deserved R&R, don't wait. Folks, this offer expires soon. Go to pineapplebeachclub.com or call 800-772-8711 to book your all-inclusive holiday. For less than $100 per night per person, again, 16 and up, you can enjoy everything I just mentioned and more. That's pineapplebeachclub.com. You don't want to miss out on this offer. You got to go see the website for complete details. Again, pineapplebeachclub.com, and tell them Doug and Joe sent you. Oh, and join us on the beach. Seriously, what a great idea, right? All right, thanks. You know, thank you everybody for tuning into us, and thanks for your support for us, and thanks for your prayers and concern. You know, Joe, you weren't in the office yet, and I was trying to. At 2 o'clock, I was going to do the video. I did it, ended up doing it at 6. And you talk about the nicest audience. We got the nicest audience, the most patient audience. It didn't go. At 1:59:59, everything went black. All the screens went black. And I was like, you know, what do I do? So I called Eric. I said, man, we have a problem. He said, I'm coming in to fix whatever it might be. And I didn't push any buttons, guys and ladies. I did not push any buttons. Yeah, Eric just said, yeah, not the right ones, Doug. So thanks for waiting until 6. And I hope that video I hope that offers you some information. But let's continue on with this, because this is the biggest, potentially the biggest story of the year, but not in the way that people are spinning it. I think that, Joe, I really think, and folks, I think that what we're seeing here is we're being gamed. This was long in the planning.
One way or the other, absolutely we are.
Yeah. But they're going to exploit this to cast a pall on the legitimacy of a Trump election, or a Trump win, I should say. And from there, you're going to see a divisive maneuvers, or maneuvers specifically designed to divide the country and to
like
create.
Like, you only won
chaos.
The election because she was sick, or
something to that effect, or you won on a loophole. Again, think 2000 on steroids, you know, in that fashion. So that's my view, anyway.
And for people who are joining us late, or maybe hadn't seen the news from yesterday, as again, yesterday was the 15th anniversary for September 11th. There were the president actually. Sorry for that. The president made an announcement before football games started yesterday. Yesterday was the, aside from the Thursday night game, the first week of the NFL.
Right.
And the president gave an announcement about 9/11 and whatnot, but Hillary Clinton, during a 9/11 memorial event, And folks, if you haven't seen the video, you should go watch the video. It's pretty telling. Left the event early, was standing by the side of the road with Secret Service detail all around her. She was leaned up against this, I don't know, what would you call it, maybe 4 foot tall cement post, 3.5 foot tall cement post. And her hands were behind her back. And Secret Service agents, doctors, whatever they were, grabbed her by her arms. And it looks like she stumbled off the curb. If you look at her feet, they look like they're dragging. And she was put into this van, either fainted, passed out, whatever it was. She seemed to have lost consciousness. And for whatever reason, she wasn't taken to a hospital. She was taken to Hillary, or her daughter, Chelsea Clinton's apartment in New York City, and appeared 90 minutes later, or that's what is being reported, coming out of the apartment, saying that she was fine and playing with a kid before being taken away.
And we've received all the emails,
Rush Limbaugh,
about the doppelgangers and such. Okay, that wasn't her. You know,
they mirrored the video. There's, you know, an angle on the video. It's a mirrored image. Right. People are saying that it's two separate videos. That it's a staged event. The video's fake. From everything I can tell that I see, it is just mirrored. It's not. Fake video.
Right.
It's not a hoax video.
It's not even another view from another angle.
I saw the stuff about the body doubles.
Yeah.
I was telling Eric earlier that Saddam Hussein had 4 known body doubles.
Exactly.
Now,
I can guarantee you, anyone of political importance has a body double.
Yeah. But I don't think there's a body double that can really stand in the place of another person, talk like that other person.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
You know,
Tina Fey comes to mind, but okay.
Like I said, I don't know for sure. But that aside, again, what I said in the first segment, one of the big things I think that needs to be focused on here, regardless of her health, is her deception to the press, the trust of the American voters. When she continues to sit there and pound the fact that if, you know, people who are talking about her health records or if she has a health issue are conspiracy theorists, while people on MSNBC like Rachel Maddow already have said that she's going to be the healthiest president in the history of the world.
Isn't that insulting to you guys?
That's what I mean. Even supporters of Hillary Clinton, who I'm sure aren't watching this show, but it should be troubling to them. That should be telling.
It's insulting.
She would get much more sympathy and support if she were on Friday, we'll say, to announce that she had pneumonia and then had this incident happen on Sunday. But it was backwards. She had this incident on Sunday. It was caught on camera. So they had to announce something was going on. And I think that they decided to say she had pneumonia. First it was, you know, dehydration. Then it was overheating. Then, you know, it progressed to, this pneumonia, and only after she fell or passed out in public was it admitted that that's actually something that she had.
And Ted Brewer, by the way, did on Friday talked about her pneumonia as being a consequence of the neurological condition that she seems to have. So she very well could have pneumonia, but not typically the kind of pneumonia you would think, you know, viral pneumonia, but one that was caused by aspirating fluid or even spittle in her lungs, right? But through swallowing, you know, or breathing, her unable, because
wouldn't she have a lot more swallowing? Like, her coughs are kind of dry coughs,
right?
I haven't heard her really, you know, cough where it sounds like there's mucus in her lungs. And
yeah, I don't know.
It sounds like more of a dry cough.
I don't,
we're not doctors, I guess. So
Ted was talking about that on his program and on this show. Is talking about the cough is not from a lung issue, it's more of a swallowing issue.
But the pneumonia, if she had pneumonia, wouldn't be a dry cough, would it?
Well, I don't know.
You know, because it's a lung disease and her infection.
Well, it's
respiratory illness.
Yeah, I don't know. But
either way, the Clinton campaign, along with Hillary Clinton, has been lying. The media's been helping her cover it up. And Drudge even had a headline today, you know, Drudge vindicated.
I think we are too, to an extent.
Well, see, all we have been doing is reporting the findings as we see them. what the Hillary Clinton and the entourage of media that's protecting her, they've been the ones at a disadvantage trying to cover up something that's halfway in plain sight for people who are paying attention, right. Marginalizing those people for calling it like they see it, even firing Dr. Drew from his TV show for saying he thinks that there is more to it than what Clinton was leading on.
But, you know, Joe, I want to say this, too. In addition to all of that, we found that that video yesterday, man, YouTube and various websites were doing their best to censor that video. And even to a lesser extent today, but still, they were knocking off that video off Facebook and off the social networking as well as websites. Were you following that at all?
I didn't see the attempted censorship. I thought the cat was out of the bag and they just had to let it go.
I think people just kind of threw up their hands about, I'm going to say about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock Eastern time this morning. They just said, okay, you know, let it go. But they're going to exploit the powers are going to exploit this, to such an extent where they're going to say, well, you know what? Trump won. Because the rules, you know, we couldn't get a successor or a replacement for Clinton.
I don't see
regardless,
Democratic Party letting a little thing like rules get in the way of what they really want to accomplish.
But they can blame it on that.
Yes, they
so
can.
So they could say, okay, we're not going to win by the rules, so we can exploit the situation with Hillary Clinton. See, I believe that they knew about her illness, but I think they figured they might have had a little bit more time.
Well, what bothers me is
that's speculation on my part.
Well, obviously she has something wrong with her health. That's not speculation anymore, nor was it, you know, in the weeks before. But now, as I said, it's out there for everybody to see. All the major newspapers, even local news around here, is reporting on it. So it's getting a lot of traction. But the big thing is the lying to her own supporters, and to the Democratic Party. Where do they go from here? Do they continue to medicate her, prop her up, and somehow squeak it out till the election time? And then there's a whole other set of options. Something did happen to her after that point. The vice president would step in and whatnot. But what are they going to do from here? And this leads me to another question. We've seen so much deception with Hillary Clinton, with the Democratic Party. Even with the release of the WikiLeaks info from Benghazi to the email scandals to everything in between, what's to say that, you know, this is going to be any different, or this is any different what we're seeing right now? Who knows if this whole thing isn't being orchestrated to cover up something else or to keep away from something else. If you notice, as Hillary Clinton's health problems and the reports of her health problems increase, the accountability of the email scandal has
would this be like a Monica missile?
I mean, if you think about it, so much has come out since James Comey, the FBI, released his opinion of Hillary Clinton's actions as Secretary of State pertaining to the email, saying it was gross negligence and there was no intent, so we can't charge her, which it doesn't say anything about that in the law. It even says in the law, gross negligence is, you know, what you need to commit the crime. I mean, you don't have to have intent. But as these health problems continue and the reporting of it and the focus of it continue to be on the health problems, you see less and less about Benghazi, less and less about her committing perjury, less and less about her having to explain what happened to the email servers. Now it's, oh, I forgot. I was, you know, still going through problems from my blood clot. I can't remember. And on and on and on till now they're swept under the rug. They're not even being talked about anymore. And those are criminal charges, criminal actions that could legally have her withdraw from the race because of legal problems. But no, now it's this whole speculation about health issues, and unless she's, you know, doing a great acting job, I think she's in trouble there too. But the health problems should not take away from the criminal investigations.
Well, it's like building an insanity defense. You know, she's building a medical impairment defense to the issues you mentioned, but I do believe that regardless, I mean, who would indict her? Do we have an attorney general that would indict her? Of course not. Do we have any infrastructure? Where do you go? See, this is the problem. Where do you go when there's no place to go? You know, who do you take your car? Imagine that. You're wronged in your county, and the police won't answer your calls. The district attorney will not investigate your calls. Now here in Pennsylvania, the counties, we have a there is such a thing as a private criminal complaint, where if you call the police because, let's say, your neighbor comes over and does something, or you're wronged criminally in some fashion, but the police, for whatever reason, won't take your complaint. And most states have this, but in Pennsylvania, it's called a private criminal complaint, where you can go to your district attorney's office and say, you know, a crime was committed against me. The police, for whatever reason, wouldn't take the call or wouldn't file a report or investigate. So I'd like to file a private criminal complaint. And then they'll give you a form. You fill it out. Basically, it just tells you, you know, you just say what happened. The district attorney will look at it, see if any laws were broken, and then file it on your behalf, not acting as your attorney, just acting as a mechanism of the law. And most states have something like this. But so think about this in the larger sense. When we the people have a complaint, and it's criminal in nature, as Joe said, whether it's Benghazi or you know, it's obviously that she is. It's obvious that she is engaged in criminal activity, as well as Obama and such. When that mechanism is taken away from you, where do you go? And I submit, Joe, that you go to the streets. I mean, I believe that this is what they are expecting. So when apply this same thing to the elections, when the people are, when we're wronged, or when the entirety of the collective is wrong in America, wronged in America, where do you go for that? Where do these people go? Especially with the vitriol of the Sanders supporters.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a big deal, I believe. And I believe that this is their end game workout. And you can check the video out that I did earlier for the specifics with respect to Article 20 or Article 2 of the Constitution, and the deadlines and what have you. Joe, if I can just bump in here, given the fact that, yesterday was 15 years subsequent to 9/11, and I don't know, I sat down yesterday morning, it was about 5:30, and I just come to the office, I brought the dog in, and it was an amazing day. It started out, you know, the crispness in the air, and it felt like, it felt a little bit like 9/11, 2001. It had that same feel to it. But I wanted to write a column. JD, I asked JD, who was at Ground Zero on 9/11, 2001. I said, he's got all sorts of pictures. And I mean, he was right there. I mean, debris was raining on his head.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, can you send a couple of pictures? And folks, I couldn't do it. I could not write anything. I don't know why. I couldn't write anything. Well, let me give you some figures, because we forget. People forget. 9/11, 2001. The total number of people killed on that day in New York City only at the Twin Towers and at and near the Twin Towers, 2,753 people. The number of firefighters and paramedics who were killed were 343. Police officers, NYPD officers, that is 23. The number of Port Authority officers, 37. The number of World Trade Center companies in the towers that lost people, 128. The number of employees who died in the towers, or Tower 1, just in Tower 1. These are people that went to work that morning and didn't make it home that night, not police officers. 1,402. Those in Tower 2, 614. The number of employees lost at Cantor Fitzgerald, you remember that? You should remember that for a number of reasons. 658. Now, the number of U.S. troops killed in Operation Enduring Freedom, 2,343. The number of nations whose citizens were killed in the attacks, 115. This is as of two years ago. But think about that. Think about those numbers. Jobs lost in New York, owing to the attacks. 146,100 jobs were lost. The New York Stock Exchange was closed for 6 days, and of course, there were 1.8 million tons of debris removed from Ground Zero. And of course, where was it removed to? Yeah. Mayor Rudy Giuliani in 2001 attended 200 funerals. Imagine that. That's a busy year.
Mm-hmm.
The cost of the cleanup, which was estimated $600
million.
I'm going to just stop right there. I just would urge everyone to remember 9/11. Remember the victims of 9/11. And we know it didn't happen the way they said it happened. We know that. Doesn't mean people didn't die. And we know that the response, the creation of Department of Homeland Security and the Machiavellian type response because of 9/11, of course.
And the not branches, right. FEMA, TSA.
Yeah.
And
yeah, not right. But I would just urge everyone, if you were not old enough to remember 9/11, please understand what happened. And even if you were old enough to know what happened but fell for the official story, please expand your horizons and let's get to the, you know, let's know that we were not told this, the real story about 9/11, nor bin Laden, nor the Benghazi attacks, 9/11, what, 12 years out or 11 years out.
A lot of the information is still going to be classified to 2030, yeah, and beyond. Interestingly enough,
and Obama is going to veto any suing of Saudi Arabia. Did you see that?
The House of Representatives passed a law allowing victims of 9/11 families to sue Saudi Arabia and other Gulf states or states that can be provenly tied to 9/11. And he hasn't done it yet, but if he does, this will be the first bill he ever vetoes, I believe. Regardless of that, yes, if the bill gets to him, or his press corps saying if the bill gets to him, he will veto it.
That's right.
Which is removing the ability of victims' family members in 9/11, and so many people have been sick. You know, we've had people on our show who were first responders who talked about the illnesses that they were sickened by after the fact, and so many first responders on that day were
sadly,
what's it called? They got sick from the asbestos and from all the different things that were in the building that can do that to you. Yeah, a lot of respiratory illnesses, and it's very sad. And a substantial amount, there was money awarded, you know, the 9/11 victims' family funds and first responder funds for illnesses and whatnot. A lot of the first responders did get a large sum of money who joined in lawsuits. But still, you know, there's still people out there who are struggling and sick and dying from what happened on 9/11 and from their heroic actions of trying to save people.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
for Obama to veto this bill,
hey,
it would
protect
just be another slap in the face to the American people, and exactly that. It would show that there is much more here than meets the eye. And not only that, but our president of the United States is going to protect the royal Saudi family over the interests of the American people and the cops and firefighters who were there that day trying to save lives. That is truly,
Joe,
sickening.
Don't fall, and folks, don't fall for the thing, well, you know, if we allow this, then they can file suit against us in
drone and killings.
Yeah,
it's
ridiculous.
We're going to be right back after these short messages with Coach Dave from PTSalt.com. Coach Dave Dobemeyer coming
America's
up
coach,
next.
Man. America's coach. I love him.